Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to Off in the SSA podcast, focusing on the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. I'm your host, Stu, and on today's show, I am livid about these changes that are announced to one of the iconic corners at Watkins Glen. But before we get to that, let's talk about something that I actually am excited for. And that's a new entry in the GTD class. You see, in the lead-up to the Acura Grand Prix of Long Beach, we had a couple of cars that were announced to be joining the IMSA grid for upcoming races. One of them was the Flying Lizard's Aston Martin, which was announced to be racing in a one-off entry at Long Beach. The other one, though, was not announced to be on the grid at Long Beach, but we've now learned that it's going to be on the grid for Laguna Seca. That car that's joining us is the number 68 Porsche 911 GT3R that will be run by CDR Valkyrie. CDR Valkyrie are relative newcomers to the IMSA grid, but earlier this year they made their IMSA debut in the Michelin Pilot Challenge. That program would debut for the second round of their season at Sebring, but unfortunately they were only able to complete 19 laps. While this team is new to the IMSA grid, they do have some experience last year in both the GT World Challenge America and the GT America grid. There they raced an Acura NSX GT3 and a Nissan GTR. Now, one of the things with this team is that you will not mistake it for any other entry out on track. With those bright and vibrant colors that's on their car, it's virtually unmistakable as to which one is theirs. Now, I mentioned that they weren't on the grid at Long Beach. When they announced their program, they were a little bit vague about it, saying that they would be joining the IMSA grid for, quote, selected races in 2024 and beyond. That changed last week, though, as they were wrapping up a test with other IMSA teams at Laguna Seca, and there they confirmed on Instagram that they would be on the IMSA grid for the next round, again, at Laguna Seca. The driver lineup for the car is yet to be confirmed, but based on some of their social media posts that we saw coming out of the Laguna Seca test, it appears that that lineup will be Brian Locke and Amir Haleem. If this is indeed confirmed to be the lineup, it would be the same lineup of drivers that they ran back at Sebring in the Michelin Pilot Challenge. One story that I completely missed in the lead up to the Rolex 24 were some changes that were going to be coming to Watkins Glen. The NASCAR-owned track was one of a couple of tracks that were announced to be seeing some changes in response to a massive wreck that we saw in a NASCAR race at Daytona last year. NASCAR reporter Bob Pockrass posted on X back in January that after the Daytona 500, NASCAR will do more paving in the area of the Priest wreck at Daytona to remove grass. Some of this had been done prior to the Rolex 24, and will also remove rumble strips in the area and remove rumble strips at the Glen bus stop. We'll add rumble area in turn one where drivers go wide at Watkins Glen. Well, now we know what the removal of those rumble strips will look like at Watkins Glen, as images were posted last week by Charlie Collins in the Watkins Glen Interloop Facebook page showing the removal of the old curbs and the new turtle curbs that will be taking their place. These photos spread like wildfire on social media, and the new curbs essentially look to consist of a large area of flat concrete between the edge of the track and the inner wall. And on that concrete slab, various removable curb pieces are present, with notably two large turtle curbs in the middle. Now, these changes raise a number of questions, but most notably, why on earth would these changes take place? There are arguments that it's to cut down on the track cutting that occurs in the corner, which sure happens to a certain extent, but it's nowhere near the problem that we see in some of the runoff areas on the exit of corners. And it was actually pretty self-policing on this corner cutting argument, as if drivers ran too far inside, that inside wall actually extended pretty far out and would prevent the drivers from going too far. I actually looked back through some photos I had from last year, and it certainly looks like there is more room now to potentially cut the track than when the wall extended further. But then there's also a safety argument, and the biggest voice behind the safety side of things was NASCAR driver Kyle Larson. He shared his mouthguard data from the NASCAR race here last year, showing how hard the corner is on drivers, and notably how hard it can be on their brains when they're attacking that curb over the course of a race. Now, these new curbs will, in theory, prevent drivers from attacking the corner as hard, make them slow down a little bit more in the braking zones in order to make this now sharper entry into the bus stop. Now, these curbs may be a solution to prevent drivers from constantly hammering over those curbs, but there are definitely other huge safety concerns with these new curbs, as mentioned on X by Connor DeFilippi. The BMW GTP driver said this is a huge safety risk at Watkins Glen if you want broken backs or cars upside down. There's certainly a darn good point to be made here. Even if cars aren't routinely hitting this curb, what happens when going into that corner, one car gets squeezed onto the entry and the bus stop flies over those curbs? That's not an easy landing for the driver. If the car is going fast enough, then the air gets under it the right way. We could see a car flip. And yeah, there's certainly an increased risk of back damage for drivers. Now, yes, of course, we can't continuously put drivers in their brains through that sort of abuse, but there are certainly other large factors that are contributing to this. One of them certainly being the rigidity of the NASCAR Next Gen car that they're now running. At the end of the day, I have a hard time seeing the real safety argument in all of this. With this solution that's in place now, you are trading one safety concern for another. And I'm certainly among the crowd of people that are upset to see these changes at such an iconic corner of this track with hardly any explanation. However, maybe I shouldn't be surprised. This lack of communication has been present now for a while. We saw changes at Laguna Seca last year where we saw increased runoff. And drivers really only learning about it as they were doing their track walk. And then we saw Daytona go and pave a large portion of the backstretch grass around the Le Mans chicane in response to Ryan Preece's scary NASCAR wreck that we had last year. It would just be great to get a little bit of explanation on these changes, maybe even before they happened, include some of the drivers in these discussions. And I guess especially drivers from other series. It sounds like there may have been NASCAR drivers that were raising the red flag about this for a while. But I mean, at the end of the day, I'm really not all that optimistic that we're going to see more communication from the track or with the drivers about some of these changes. Alrighty, from those controversial changes that we're seeing take place at the Glen to the excitement of some new cars coming our way. Yeah, let's talk about some updates to some new cars that we'll hopefully be seeing on the IMSA grid in future years. First, with Mercedes, and it's no secret that the current AMG GT3 that they're running is one of the oldest on the IMSA grid. Introduced in 2016, the car has become a staple of the grid, and back in 2020, it received an Evo Kit upgrade that was slated to take its running life until the end of 2024. Well, according to recent reports, it is going to remain on the IMSA grid for at least another year. In a recent Sportscar 365 article, Mercedes head of customer racing, Steven Wendell, indicated that the brand is not committed to their 2025 timeline anymore. And instead, he indicated that the launch of this car would be tied to the rollout of a new streetcar. Now, it sucks that we won't be seeing a new Mercedes on the IMSA grid next year, but it's not all bad news, though. The longer that that current car remains on track, the longer we get to hear that V8 rumble around the track. Mercedes is not the only old car on the grid that's due for a replacement. The Lexus RCF GT3 is another car that's been on the grid for a number of years, with a replacement car currently in development. Reports from earlier this year indicated that it was slated for a 2026-ish debut, but that timeline is entirely dependent on how the development progresses. That being said, though, all indications are that this car is coming along quite nicely. There have been recent reports of the track testing at various tracks in Japan, and recently there was some footage that emerged of the car testing at Sebring. It actually appears that the car might even be getting close to a competition debut. But then again though, TRD president David Wilson indicated it would be unlikely for us to see the car in competition before 2026. And when speaking with Sportscar 365, he actually hinted that the plan for the global competition debut of the new car would be at Daytona in 2026. And then we have arguably the most anticipated new car coming to the IMSA grid, and that's the Aston Martin Valkyrie. Back in late 2023, the Valkyrie was announced to be under development for a dual IMSA and WEC program starting in 2025 with the Heart of Racing. And back at the Rolex 24 in January, Aston Martin head of Endurance Motorsport, Adam Carter, indicated that Everything is on track with the program. Heart of Racing team principal Ian James also reported to Daily Sports Car that they hope to have 12 to 15,000 kilometers of testing under their belt before they even hit the IMSA sanctioned test in December. Some pretty lofty expectations for a car that, to our knowledge, hasn't even hit the track yet. That being said, though, it is expected that that LMH spec car is going to be ready to hit the track sometime near the end of Q2. With it being early May when this video is released, we're already well into Q2, I think this is going to be worth keeping a very close eye on in the coming weeks, as we might be seeing that LMH spec car hit the track for the first time. That's going to wrap this one up, though. Before you go, make sure that you are subscribed on your favorite podcasting app so you never miss an episode. You can also follow along with the show on X or check out the video version of the show on YouTube. Just look for Off in the S's. Also, a big shout out to all of the Patreon supporters. If you too want to support the show, then you can head to patreon.com/offintheS's. Once again, though, thanks for tuning in. I hope everyone has a great race weekend and doesn't go off in the S's.